So turn in your Bibles, or get your iPad, iPhone, or other electronic device, and look up Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you would, look at someone and say to them these words, stay strong. Look at somebody else and tell them, stay strong. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we ask that you would now help us to preach your word as we have studied, as we prepared our hearts. Pray that you would speak through this clay vessel to the hearts of these, your people. And God, as always, we depend upon your power, upon the gift of the Holy Spirit to do thy will. Change us by what we hear, and Lord, change us for the good. We humbly pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As we think about being strong in the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of strength is it that we need? What are we asking God to do in our lives? Why do we need strength? And what will it do for us? Of course, we have to understand the calling of God, the work of God, what he would have us to do in life. We're not, as some might suppose, just to sit back and relax until God calls us home to glory. We're in this world for a reason, and we're here on an assignment. Given the fact that we're here for a reason and that we've been given an assignment, we need God's strength. Say that with me. We need God's strength. How do we get the strength? And what is the source of the strength? I came up with an equation. X plus Y equals strength. The X stands for the variables in life that we might face and that we might encounter. The Y stands for the source. And then, of course, you have the other part of the equation where it equals strength. Now, here's where a lot of people come in. Their various situations, which is the X, they will know they'll face it. They'll have these variables in their life. Everything changes. Nothing is the same. And we're in circumstance after circumstance, struggle after struggle. We know that we have those X's in life, right? But we also know that we have to depend on some source. And that's where some people have this Y. And it's really, they don't know where their source is. They don't know where they're going to get their strength from. So how do you have strength if you have two variables? It's impossible for you to solve because you've got two variables. One of them has to be known, right? Now, what Paul is saying in this verse, if your source, which is the why, if that's God, you don't worry about the variables because our God can conquer anything. Am I right about it? Our God can solve any problem. Our God can meet any need. Our God can do all things. As a matter of fact, now that you've got strength, you'll be able to say with Paul in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. Not just anybody. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is our strength. God is our source. And we're going to go through several people in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you open the pages of Scripture, you will find people in circumstances, in situations, just like you and me. They had to struggle, and a lot of times we look at the folks in the Bible, oh, they didn't have to go through what I'm going through. Maybe not from the same perspective, certainly not in the same time frame, but they had to go through struggles. Life is a struggle. As a matter of fact, when you came into this world, the doctor slapped you. You didn't know why they did it. If you were big enough, you would have slapped him back. But, you know, that's beside the point. The point is we struggle. We face issues every day, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's employment, whether the needs in our life, they change constantly. But guess who does not change? Your eternal God is the one who gives you strength. I like the way Paul brings this together. And when he uses the word finally, he's already said to the believer who you are in Christ. He's already given you a divine identity so that you don't have to ask yourself, well, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? You're a child of God. Look at somebody. Tell them, I'm a child of God. Never let people diminish you. Never let anybody devalue you, because God made you, not just anybody. God framed you. You were made by the perfect hand of God. And you are precious in his sight. You may not feel value, you may not feel precious, but that's what God thinks about you. So Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not just strong in somebody that you don't know. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to give you five things before we close today of how you can stay strong in God, but I want to take you through this process. Take you through this. Right now, some of you are going through things and you're asking, God, give me more strength. Guess what he says? Done. God, I need strength for this. And God says, you got it. God, I need to be able to stand up in these situations that I'm facing. God says, I'm with you. Be strong in the Lord. We're almost 2 years into this pandemic and people are getting weaker and weaker. Why? Yes, it takes a toll on you. It begins to weigh heavy on you. You've got all of these crises that we're facing, crises in our nations. And you know what? And so what we're seeing is that the news media, and I'm not faulting anybody, certainly I'm not pointing blame, but they bring out more bad news than good news. And so when you sit there watching the news, you had a pretty good day, but then you watch the news, say, oh man, why am I still here? Why am I struggling? And you're back to the variables. You're back to the situation. Now you're trying to figure out what to do. But your God has everything planned, including these days that we're living in right now. He already knew before it happened, it's going to be there. And what I want you to do in those days, I want you to stand. Stand strong in the Lord. Our faith plus God equals strength. If you're going through the death of a loved one, your faith plus God will take you through it. Going through a family crisis, your faith in God will take you through it. All you got to say is, Lord, you are my strength. You're my very present help in trouble. And God will be with you. Psalms 46 and verse 1. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. We learned something in Sunday school today about Abram, how that he had been called from his native land, how he had been called from Ur of the Chaldees. Now, he had to depend on God's strength. He had to depend on the grace of God to guide him through and guide him to his destiny. Did he have some faults? Yes. Did he have some times where his faith was weak? Yes. But guess what he did? He would build him an altar. He would remember that God was God. He would confess, Lord, I didn't do what I should have done. That's why we have church. We're not here because all of us are a bunch of goody two-shoes. We're here because we have all come short of God's glory. And guess what? This loving God, this gracious God that you serve, will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But you got to let him know what your problem is. You got to let him know, Lord, I need you in my life. You know, I had thought about going through all of the armor of God, put on the whole armor of God. You know where it says, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. But what's the use of putting on armor if you got something weak inside the armor? Are y'all still in the building? No need of me saying I'm going to take the breastplate of righteousness if I can't even lift it up. No need of putting on the helmet of salvation if my mind is filled with doubt and insecurity. You've got to first depend on the strength, the energy, the divine energy that God pours into you through Jesus Christ. Now, how did you get that? How did you get that? Here's the point. I feel my help coming on. When you received Christ into your life, you didn't just make a statement of faith. You proclaimed to God, Lord, I am dead to self, but I'm alive in God. And the very power of God came into you. His energy came into your life so that now you're filled with hope. You're filled with joy in the midst of sorrow. You're filled with the grace of God because the Lord walked. Can I go where my grandma used to go? The Lord walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. Abram had to receive this thing from God. He had to receive the promise and the blessing from God in order for him to stand strong. And though he went through struggle after struggle, time after time where his faith got weak, and there were times that he let folks down, but guess what? God never let him down. See, I'm not worried about life itself and how I'm going to make it. Sometimes I question where I'm going, but God's had everything planned. All I've got to do is say, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. Samson was another one that he had to depend on God's strength. Abram depended on God's strength, and the Lord allowed him to conceive. And though he and his wife were barren, didn't have children, God gave them the seed. God sent Isaac, and the Lord blessed them. And guess what Isaac's name means? Laughter. When's the last time you laughed? When is the last time that you had some joy on the inside? Not because somebody told a joke, but you genuinely felt good. And you said, you know what? Everything's all right. I got peace in my heart because God is on his throne. That's the strength that you need. That's the grace that you need. You're not alone in this world. You're not alone. God is watching you even though you can't see him. He knows where you are. Are y'all here today? Samson was another one that had to rely on God's strength. God gave him tremendous physical ability and strength to face the Philistines. As a matter of fact, when this guy get to fighting, he didn't need an army. He was an army. He was an army. He took an ox goad and began to slay the enemy. And what you've got to do is those things that are attacking you spiritually, that are attacking you in your mind, that are attacking your body, you've got to take up the word of God and say, you know what? I'm going to slay these things before they kill me. I'm going to do battle against them because God has given me strength. Now, did Samson let God down? Yes, he did. As a matter of fact, Samson liked to live on the border of things. You know, he liked to go to the very edge. The Bible said, "You shall not, and you're one of my anointed ones, and you're my servant. You've taken the vow of a Nazarite. You don't cut your hair, don't drink wine, and guess what? You know, he's sipping over there with the Philistines. Says, you know what? We're gonna have a little party because I'm getting ready to get married. Compromise. But God loved him the same. And in his weak moments, the Lord still loved Samson. The enemy kept taunting him and asking, tell us where your strength comes from. Samson knew that it was a secret. He knew that his strength was coming from God. And so the enemy is always going to try to zap your strength. You'll find people, some of y'all on Monday morning, you're going to find people that you're going to be around at work or in other environments. You're going to find people that, you know what, I don't think we're going to make it out of this. Tell them, yes, we are, because I read the book. I know what God said. Even in his compromise, the Lord allowed Samson to be strengthened for a final battle, and he did more in his death than he did in his life because he trusted in God. What I'm telling you, you ain't in the grave yet. Don't put yourself there. Keep standing and be strong in the Lord. Look at somebody, tell them, be strong. You've got to be strong in God's strength. Pastor Jack Hayford of Van Nuys, California, said something many, many years ago, and I was listening as he said. He said, people think about the promised land as a place where they can just sit back, relax, and rest. He says, but the promised land is really a place of three things. One is a place of blessing. You'll get blessed. Secondly, it's a place of beginnings. But then lastly, it's a place of battle. You got to fight. When you came to Christ, you entered into a spiritual promised land because everything that God said he would do, he has said it in Christ. Are y'all still here? And yes, being in Jesus and Jesus in you is a place of blessing. You've been blessed over and over again. It's a place of beginnings because you looked at your past life and said, you know what? I want a new start in life. I want God to help me. So you started out in Jesus and you've been journeying. How many of y'all love that saying, I started out in Jesus and I'm moving on. I started out in Jesus and I'm still holding on to his holy word. You have a place of new beginnings, but also you had to fight. Guess what Jesus said? The folks that don't like me, they ain't gonna like you. If they hated me, they gonna hate you. But listen, church, if you spend all your time worrying about your haters, you're not gonna get to the place where God wants you to be. Don't worry about the folks that are criticizing you. Look at the ones that are encouraging you and telling you, keep going. And if nobody around you is encouraging you, encourage yourself in the Lord. Another Bible character, the Bible says of David that he was in a place where he should not have been, over in the Philistines. And when he got back from the land of the Philistines, all of his family had been taken, his village had been burnt, and they were very much discouraged. As a matter of fact, his soldiers began to say to him, that's bad when you got your boys, when you got your gang, when you got folks around you, when you got your friends that are telling you it's your fault. You ever had that to happen? He was at a low point in his life, and they said, you know what? We ought to be stoning you because you're the one that got us into this mess. Don't you love it that people are with you when you do wrong, and they all agree, say, yeah, we're going to do such and such, and then you do wrong, and then they blame you. We still do that as adults. Children, it's nothing for children to do that, but we do that as adults. Blame somebody else. As a matter of fact, it happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam blamed Eve. This woman you gave me, she's the one that got me into this mess. Then the woman, she looked around. The serpent got me into it. And the serpent said, I ain't got nowhere to go. So they were all looking at David. They were all saying to him, it's your fault. And they spake of stoning him. But guess what he did? He found strength. Because he encouraged himself in the Lord. Here's what I want you to do tomorrow morning. When you get up and that same old bad feeling gets up with you, and that feeling is looking you in the mirror, you look in the mirror and you tell yourself, I've been made by God. I am amazing because I serve an amazing God. Now, don't talk too long because somebody else might hear you and think you're on an ego trip. But talk long enough. Talk sincerely to where you can say to your soul, we can make it. We have God's strength. We have God's power. And I guarantee if you'll do that, God will bless you. Yes, you'll have to fight, but you'll know that God is fighting your battle with you. Anybody in the house today? Nehemiah was another one that had to depend on God's strength. The Lord had laid upon his heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And facing this daunting task, being given the approval by the Persian Empire, the king of Persia said to him, yes, go, rebuild those walls, rebuild the city, rebuild the sepulchers where your father is. Nehemiah went back to the land, you know, thinking everything's going to be all right. But guess what? He had enemies, just like you. You have the enemies of fear. You have the enemies of anxiety. People are wondering what's going to happen next. I'm going to tell you, God's going to happen next. I'm going to give all the glory to him because he may not come when I want him to. Oh, but how many of you know that he's right on time? May not give me everything I want, but God will come through. having the backing of the Persian king. He went across the river, had his letters with him, had all of the things that he needed for approval. And guess what the people said? You ought not be doing this. Discouragement. Discouragement, which is a type of fear. And you know what he did? He said to the people that were working with him, put your sword on one side, get your work tools on the other side, and let's get to work. People said, you need to stop. He said, we're about a good work and we can't come down. Are y'all still here? A lot of folk are thinking during this pandemic time that the church is going to shut down. Matter of fact, we just got started. If God be for us, who can be against us? Do I have some witnesses in the house just to give God the praise and all the glory? Nehemiah rebuilt those walls because he depended upon God, who was his strength. The church is going to need something more than buildings. We're going to need something more than programs. We're going to need the power of God. Why do you think God brought us to this time? Why do you think he has this at this point in history? It is so that we as believers can lift up our heads and we can say, God is our strength. He's our refuge, our very present help in a time of trouble. That's why God brought you here. That's why you're still a part of his church. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no other organization on the face of the planet that is set up directly to receive the blessing and the strength from God other than the church. Now, we can be a blessing in the world, but the one that God says I want to bless through is his church. You got to be a part of it. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, you got to be a confessing church. You can't keep it to yourself. If God is merciful, proclaim his mercy. If God is your strength, proclaim that the Lord is my strength. And then go about doing good in the world rather than evil. Look at the folks that over the weekend, they're going to make plans and schemes to do something else that's wicked and nasty, right? Monday morning, they're going to implement their little plan and say, you know what, we're going to mess up everybody else so that we can have something good. Am I right about it? But the church, at the same time, we're in here and we're planning to be about God's business. As Lewis said a little while ago, to be God's workman in the world, and that we shouldn't be discouraged when things go wrong. We are his workmen. We're the ones that God has equipped for this purpose. And we're about implementing our Father's plan. Now, guess what? If you don't do it, who will? If you don't stand strong, then who will? He's depending on you and me. Look at somebody else for the second or third time. I forget how many times. Tell them, the Lord is my strength. Five things, very quickly. How do you stay strong? That's a good question. How do you stay strong? Because you're just one phone call away from a heartbreak. You're just one day or one second away from a letdown. How do you stay strong in times like these? You're just one moment away from an attack of the enemy. How do you stay strong? Paul gives it in this verse and then some other verses that I'll bring up. You stay strong, number one, by depending on God as your source. God is your source. And I know people will get tired of you saying, why you always talk about the Lord gonna make a way? Because you've tried him and you know he works. He moves in ways that man cannot see. God is your source. Now, you're the instrument of God. Don't get me wrong now. Don't get me wrong. God is your source doesn't mean that the Lord's going to do it all. We've got this problem in the church where people are saying to themselves, well, if the Lord is mighty, he can do all things, let him do everything. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. God not only wants to work for you, he wants to work through you and in you to bring about that good which you're capable of doing. Notice I said you're capable. That's the other good word for today. You are capable. You're not insufficient. You're not a nobody. You're capable. You are equipped. You are loved. You're valued because you're in God. And sometimes you need to tell yourself that. That voice of negativity will always try to put you down and to keep you down. But when you can say to yourself, you know what, the Lord brought me this far, so evidently I must be capable. I must have something in me that God wants to do with me and for me and through me. I'm not going to give up now. No, no. I'm not going to let the devil win because I am capable. I know some of y'all going to say, Reverend Coleman, I started saying that and the devil came at me even harder. That's where you need to get in the word. And you need to say to the devil, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you defeat me because I've got something that cannot be defeated. God's holy word. You're capable. Now, what does it mean to draw from God as your strength? You've got to focus on the fact of what I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, this divine oneness. You're one with God. Jesus prayed that we would have it. He said, Father, as we are one, I pray that they may be one in us. Having this oneness with God. And Paul brings it up in Ephesians 2 and verse 13. Look at what he says. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, separated, apart from God. That's talking about the Gentiles as us. Now we are brought near. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. You got divine blood flowing through you now. You are a child of God and you belong to the Lord, and the Lord is your source. Let me give you an example again of that. David, when people were saying to him, your troubles and your battles are so many, why don't you look around to the hills around Jerusalem and find help? And David said, no. My help comes from who? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He said in another place, the Lord is my refuge, my strong tower. Do you brag on God that way? He's my strong tower. He is your source. The second thing about it, Paul mentions in this verse, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Your God is not a concept. Your God is real. As a matter of fact, his reality is the thing that woke you up this morning. You would have never been able to put your foot on the floor if God did not give you strength. Are y'all still here? And I'm glad, amen. I had to take a little while to get up because I had a few little aches and pain, got to shake it off. But thank God he gave you strength. The Lord is strengthening you. The Lord is with you. At one point, the armies of God were in the valley of Elah. And we talk about having strength comes from God and having to depend upon this strength as our security. It is our security. The people were so insecure. When they were facing off in the valley of Elah against this giant, there's one giant now, one giant began to defy the armies of Israel and say, you know what, send somebody out and I'll fight them. Send somebody, and I tell you what, if they conquer me, then the Philistines will serve you. But if we conquer them, then you got to serve the Philistines. You will have these enemies of doubt and fear all around you all the time. Now listen to me. One little guy by the name of David, probably about 17 or 18 years old, stood up and heard what that person said. And having the anointing of God on his life, he said, I ain't going to take this. If nobody else going to fight you, I'm going to fight. Are y'all still here? David went out into battle. He said to the enemy, you come against me with spear and you come against me with armor, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Now, here's what you got to do with your situation. Write your problem down and say, problem, you come against me with all of these attacks against my body, against my mind, and against my spirit, but I come against you in the name of Jesus. And if you believe it, God will give you strength. He is your security. He's your source of strength. He's your security, but then he's our strategy. He's your strategy. You got a battle plan? Now, we know that the battle belongs to the Lord, but guess what? The praises belong to us. How many military people we got in here? Folks that serve in the military. Okay, got a couple of people. Y'all remember when we used to be in the military and they would have this thing called cadence? We'd be marching. We'd be marching and they'd be, you know, timing us as far as cadence. That was something to keep you encouraged as you marched. Do you not know that the Lord and the Word of God will put a song in your heart? Do you not know that when you are in a situation that you need to count cadence through your praises? When I got up this morning, I began to sing a song. He woke me up this morning, started me on our way. The Lord is blessing me right now. You got to call, rather than singing the same old sad song, put some joy in your heart. Get something alive in your spirit so that you'll know that the Lord, He is God. Do we have any happy folk in here that don't mind giving God praise? But then Paul says the fifth thing, or the fourth thing rather, is that you got to stand in God's strength. Not only be secure in God's strength, to know that He's your source of strength, and then have a strategy for God using God's strength, but you've got to stand. You've got to stand. The church needs to stand for something. We're of a different kingdom. I was reading on a news feed this morning how that people are now trying to start this national Christian party. Some of you may have run across it. Oh, well, yeah, somebody else starting something. But ladies and gentlemen, know your history. Adolf Hitler, before he took over Germany, had to gain control of three things. One was the military. Obviously, if you're going to be a dictator, you need to have some firepower. You need to have some might behind you. Second thing he wanted to do was to take over the political system, which he did, and set up his regime or Third Reich. Okay? Third thing he wanted control of was the church. Was the church. Man, y'all got silent. Whenever we become a political party, we've ceased to be the church of Jesus Christ. Mark my word, there is this push to make us political. And I ain't going there. Why am I not going there? I'm not going there because I don't have to vote for my king. My king is the Lord of heaven and earth. Are y'all still here? Now, who you vote for is your business. Are y'all still in the building? But if I'm a Democrat or if I'm a Republican, I'm going to be a light one. I'm not going to be a heavy one. Amen? Because kingdoms of this world change and they pass away. But one of these old days, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory is coming in the clouds, and I want to see Him, and I'm going to be on the Lord's side. Anybody on the Lord's side today? I wish y'all would hear me. I wish you would hear me. History is repeating itself in America. You better wake up and know where things are going. Amen. God didn't send me to control what's out there. He sent me to control what's in my heart. Oh, praise His name today. Glory be to God. Be secure in who you are. Stand in the strength of the Lord. Paul says in verse 11 of chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Lastly, I know you're saying, man, he finally getting finished. I just got started. That was round one, amen? I'm getting ready to hit round two. Y'all have been in these four-speed vehicles. You get in first gear, then you get in, I'm just getting ready to shift into high gear. Are y'all still here today? Stand in the evil day, but the last thing you need to do, be satisfied in Christ. Be satisfied that God is your strength. Don't be going off looking for something else. That happened with Israel. The Lord had blessed them, brought them into the land, and as soon as they began to flourish as a nation, what did they do? They started turning to idols. Do we have idols in America? You betcha. And you know what one of them is? Money, 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 money. Are y'all still here? People worship that. Do you need it? Yes. Guess who's going to give it to you? The Lord. God will give you the resources that you need. I don't know how He'll do it, but guess what? If He made the gold, He certainly knows where it's at. Well, that'll preach anywhere. So whatever you need, God will provide it, but do not turn to idols, my beloved. Don't turn to idolatry. Don't worship the things of this world. Use the things of this world, but don't worship them. Do not worship them. Paul closes by telling us that God is our strength, He's our source, He's our strategy for survival in life. We stand in Christ, but then we're satisfied with Christ. Be aware that the fact that the world, the flesh, and the devil is always trying to invade your soul and take up space within your soul. But if you stand in Christ and you say, Lord, I want to thank you for loving a sinner like me. I want to thank you for how far you brought me and how you've kept me. 1971, a gentleman by the name of Harris Johnson wrote a song entitled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. There are a lot of decisions that you make. You can decide on whether you're going to be weak. You can decide on that. But I guarantee you that if you decide on Jesus today, you know what he's going to do? He's going to be your strength. He's going to be your guide. He's going to be the one that will shelter you and keep you through this vain world that we live in. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hear the words of this song. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. You know, when you get to the place in your faith where you say to yourself, there's no turning back. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to turn my back on the church. I'm not going to turn my back on my family. I'm going to stand. Sometimes you got to fight, but still I'm going to stand. I've decided to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for your tremendous power. Thank you for your awesome grace. And I pray for that one that's making a decision today for Christ. I pray that they would find strength in the Lord. Today's a good day. Today is a day where you can surrender and say, Lord, you take charge. Tell me what to do, and Lord, I'll do that. Decide to make Jesus your choice. Pray that in Jesus' strong name and for his sake. Amen.